Support for the morning stream comes from Kind, makers of healthy and delicious snacks. To try 10 Kind bars for free, just pay shipping. Go to kindsnacks.com/frogpants. That's kindsnacks.com/frogpants. Coming up on TMS, speak up.
That will be $180, please.
Chewy is in trouble.
That is one ugly dog.
How old is your fruitcake?
Major spoilers.
That's not a measurement. Trek nerd and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
In your enthusiasm to show Mary a good evening out on your wedding anniversary last night, you had a whole lobster, and quite a large one, I might add, and numerous olives. Between worry and lobster, well, in a word, Bill Turner, you're having a dream. This? A dream?
I really went hyper diaper.
This is the morning stream. It's a rat turd.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It is TMS for Monday, August 14th, 2017. My name is Scott Johnson, and I'm here with Brian Ibbett. Hello.
Hello, Scott Johnson. Hi. Happy Monday to you.
Thanks, man. It's my weird brother's birthday tomorrow, and not sure what to get him. He's impossible to buy for because he's weird.
Your so. Korean brother's birthday?
Yeah. What do you think I should give for him? What do you suggest?
I think he needs a Periscope account. Because I've watched some of the video, like the I think there was one that Taylor or Carter posted that you forwarded a couple weeks ago or retweeted or something. That was fantastic.
Yeah, he's every time I see him, he's always down to clown, and he's I mean, I think he turns 50. Like, that's crazy, because he behaves like he's 14, and he always has. And I don't ever want him to change. But I think you're right. Maybe some sort of social media counseling coaching would be what I should give him for his birthday. I don't know. But he's a weirdo forever, so may he ever reign as the weirdest person in my family. Hey, quick note here at the top of the show. I'm going to get this right out of the way early. This last weekend was a shit show here in these States United. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell people right up front that my goal is to not have TMS become a place where I give too much stage time to Nazis.
Oh God.
Cause F those guys. And, I just want it to be clear. Cause I know that a lot of people are like, we can't wait to hear what you say on Monday. Here's what I'm going to say on Monday. It is the easiest thing on this planet to take a stand that Nazis suck. And that's my stand. And it's as simple as that. So no Nazis here. No. F that.
Of course not. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it seems almost dumb to say it, but we find ourselves in strange times where strange people are defending strange things. But I am 100% anti-Nazi.
Anti-white supremacist.
Anti-all of it.
Racism of any sort.
All that bullshit can go and take a giant dump. So that's our stand. Now, if you want to hear more about very specific things, tune in tomorrow when Jury's here.
I'm sure it'll get brought up. And who knows what's going to happen between now and then that's going to even add to this.
Hopefully nothing, but probably something. I have a lot to say about it, but I don't want to ruin TMS people on that. Because you know what? There's plenty of other forums for it. Jeez, if you want to be sick of me, just read my Twitter account for the last 2 days. That's how you'll get sick of me real fast. So plenty of other forums for this kind of stuff. Not going to do it here so much. That doesn't mean we don't think it's important or a really big mess or any of those other things. Those are all true. But we're here to have fun.
For 4.5 days of the week, we try and be the escape from all of that.
Right.
And then that other half show on Tuesdays, second half, we remind you what the hell's going on.
Yeah, we dedicate a good half hour or something to the nightmarish things that are happening in people's lives. And we'll do that, but we're not doing that today. So I just wanted everybody to know. Also, F zombies. F Nazis.
Well, F zombies too, really.
Sure. Well, you know what? F Nazi zombies.
F them.
That's the worst
combo. Worst combo ever.
Yeah, that's a bad one. At least you'll know who they are. All right. They'll be wearing polo shirts.
They're very obvious.
Yeah.
They're very obvious, yes.
They'll be walking out of Pier 1 Imports with a tiki torch, and you'll know who they are. All right, that's that. Let's I can tell you a funny little story here that happened to me. Final wedding of the weddings happened on, well, for now anyway, of the successive weddings that happened like 3-4 weeks
in a week. Stop getting married now, people. The final wedding has happened.
The final wedding is over. It's the best part of Game of Thrones, the final wedding. Anyway, did you see Game of Thrones last night, Ben?
Yes, I did.
It's so good.
Little bomb dropped in there, like a little offhanded bomb dropped at the Citadel is all I'm going to say.
Yeah. I'll just say...
Oh, no.
I'm not going to spoil
this
thing.
This is where it always goes wrong.
I'm not going to spoil it.
Yeah.
I'll just say that this season is freaking killing it for me.
Yeah.
I love it. All right. Anyway, what was my thing? Okay. Wedding. So we were at a wedding dinner Friday night. The wedding itself was Saturday morning. So we went to the dinner, and this is my weird brother, Matt, and his kid getting married. And he's not marrying his kid. It's his kid marrying someone else. It's my brother Matt's kid who is getting married to someone else. There's the correct statement. Mm-hmm. And we're at this dinner, and Matt made the whole thing. He did all the food. He's like an incredible cook. So he made this really amazing spread for everybody. And it was incredible, and all that stuff was good and everything. There was a portion of the evening where people were encouraged to get up to a microphone and talk about the groom or the bride. Mm-hmm. Like you do. You've seen this before, right?
Yeah. It's like... I've got a few words. Yes, I'd like to talk about the bride and groom. I've known
like
them for
it's like a toast.
8 years.
Yeah,
it is exactly
sort of like that. Yeah,
and it's basically a chance for people who weren't scheduled to talk to get a chance to talk. Yes,
yes. So we got everything from some heartfelt, very sweet things to grumpy old men reciting poetry and things like that. But my favorite part of the night was there's this little old lady who got up there, and she was apparently the grandmother of the bride, Carly, who's a sweetheart. And she gets up, this old lady, just the sweetest old lady, although she looks just like Lucille Bluth, like the dead spitting image of Lucille Bluth.
Yeah. Oh, that's hilarious.
Like
okay.
All kept, like all made up and like in the little pantsuit and all that.
She have a martini in her hand, though?
No, that was the only thing she's missing. And there wasn't like a one-handed weirdo following her around.
Kid with a hook hand following her around
no,
in the same outfit.
That didn't happen. But she got up, and she was saying some very nice things about her granddaughter, and it was always great. And about five minutes into her talking, in the dead silence of this big room, in the very back, you hear somebody go, "Speak up!" Like that. and we all kind of look around. We can't quite see who it is. And finally kind of got a glimpse of him. It's just like Grandpa Simpson back there. Turn it up. There was this really, really, and I mean really old man.
Mm-hmm.
Like old as they come. Old as you get. I don't know what he was, but probably had to be 90s. And it occurred to me, this is what happens when you're 90 or something. You don't care anymore. If you can't hear very well, who cares if anyone else hears you yell? You're just going to yell because who cares? You're 90. You've seen a lot in your life. So why don't you just go ahead and express yourself and say, I can't hear a damn thing. That's what I'm going to do when I'm 90.
No, exactly. Zero Fs.
Yeah, I have no Fs left. All the Fs are gone. There's no replenishment of Fs. I'm going to give less Fs every year. And when I get there, I'm going to be a cranky old cuss. And y'all are going to have to just live with it. You know, if I crap my diaper, tough tootie.
It totally reminds me of Grandpa Simpson. There was a THX.
Turn it up.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. That's a good one.
THX thing in The Simpsons.
I wish they still did those. They should do those again. Those are great.
Yeah.
THX even do a thing? They do stuff still, right?
You know what? That's a good point. I can't tell you the last time I heard saw a THX thing before a movie.
It's almost always Dolby or... Mm-hmm. It's the other one. There's another one. But the Dolby one always has that lady whispering at the end. You know the one I'm talking about?
Well, I seem to remember something like that. But I don't think that that's... I think that they changed those out a lot. Because I know that there's one now where there's... they've gotten Coke to sponsor it or something. And so you're hovering around a giant ball. And then all of a sudden, you've got ice cubes around you. And they're filling up the glass. And then there's Coke... getting poured, and you're hearing that in all four quadraphonic speakers and all that.
I have heard that. Is that the one also where you can hear like a dude yelling at another dude at the beginning of it? Like someone's like, and they do it in quadraphonic, so it sounds like someone's in the room. So you hear a guy go,
yelling at each other.
Yeah, bring it over here, or something like that. And he's, it feels like he's just down there. And I always look down by the exit every time.
Yeah, but isn't that, that's like, it's a girder, like it's a construction thing, isn't it? Or am I thinking of something else? Where it's like, bring that over here. And then they lower the logo.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe. I just wonder where the THX logos are. What has happened? What happened, Lucasfilm? Whoever owns that now, what's the deal?
You know who owns it now, according to Captain Kipper?
Mm.
Razer.
Razer?
Like the mouse and keyboard gaming company.
What?
Yeah, apparently in 2016, THX was acquired by Razer.
Do they get the movie just for kicks? Does that just
THX 1138? Yeah. Just like a little bonus.
Yeah. That's crazy.
You'll have to ask Jorge Lucas about that one.
Here we go. American company headquartered in San Francisco, founded in 1983 by George Lucas, develops the THX high fidelity audio visual reproduction standards for movie theaters. Blah blah blah. The current THX was created in 2002 when it spun off from Lucasfilm. It was developed by Tomlinson Holman at George Lucas's company. Blah blah blah. I'm trying to skip ahead here. Okay. Oh, this is interesting. The THX system is not a recording technology. And it does not specify a sound recording format. All sound formats, whether digital, Dolby Digital, DTS, SDDS, etc., can be shown in THX. THX is mainly a quality assurance system. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either, so it's QA.
It's QA. That's it. It's QA. And you're totally right. In 2016... Okay, wait. Okay, this is even weirder. In 2002, THX was owned by sound card manufacturer Creative Technology. So the Creative Labs people.
Creative, yeah. The guys who made one of the first MP3 players, the Creative Jukebox.
That's right. It says back then they were responsible for the creation of the first THX certified audio card for computers, the Sound Blaster Odyssey 2. In 2016, it was acquired by video games company Razer. Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
That Razer, it would go from Creative to Razer. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say how Creative got it, though. That's weird. That's weird. Anyway, whatever.
That's weird.
Okay. I no longer care. It's fine. I don't care anymore. Like, what if it's THX is nothing but a hey, this is nice deal? Then well, what are we doing there? What was that for?
Right, right.
It's super dumb. Remember the one that used to fall apart and the little robots had to hook it all up again? Do you remember that one?
Yeah, it was like right, and it was also THX, right? Because the robot came out of the side of it and then it went, and then you'd hear it going. You'd hear it in the theater going from one side to the back and then came around and fixed it.
Yeah, it was like, I think it was Pixar animated, I think. But
yeah, I think so too.
And they used it for Pixar movies, but those days are gone. Mm-hmm. Kiss your history goodbye. Anyway.
Now you just get, please turn off your cell phones during the movie.
Yeah, I love
that. Throw trash in the receptacles outside, please.
I always like the iconic things like that, but I never understand them. The Dolby one at our local one, there's always a lady at the end that goes, you're listening.
That's right. You know what it is? It's our generation's let's all go to the lobby.
And I wish we did that again. That's what I'm looking for.
That's right. Oh, yeah. J.K. Grammer brings up the cow sound effect. It was the same one. It was the little robot that fixed the THX. Had the he had the little sound effect can that you turn it over and it's brrr, and then you turn back over and then he puts that into the THX logo, I think, and then all of a sudden you hear the cow brrr. I think you like hear 1,000 cows all over the theater.
I forgot all about that. It's real stupid. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Stump Dunaway. It's not brought to you by anyone except Dunaway. Who's here. Hi, Dunaway. Hi.
Hi, like 1,000 cows, I'm here to destroy you.
Oh, great. That's what we 1,000 cow Dunaway is what we like to call you.
That's right.
How's it going? We talked to you yesterday for FilmSec, and that was a lot of fun.
It was. It's always a lot of fun. Yesterday, we watched Pumping Iron.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I got to say, you give it your all for the opening introductions. You know, right. Jordan and I will sit there and we'll write something, we'll say it, blah blah blah. You not only perform it, live video record it, whatever the kids are calling that these days. you tube it.
Yeah.
And you're so method, you wear the actual outfit that you're talking about that was stolen from my kids.
Yes. Yeah. It was a last second decision. I modified my intro for it and I said, you know what's going to really elevate this? If I'm wearing the shirt the guy is looking for.
Yeah.
So,
and you sold it. You sold it in a way. Well, also you ran out of the room as part of the
room. Exactly. Yes.
Did you catch the part where I threw the shirt back to the microphone? No. I was naked for a moment.
Oh, I missed that. No, I didn't. You were? You should have come out and shown us your hot bod is what you should have done.
Right. No, I didn't. I snipped that little bit.
If anyone out there has questioned your dedication to the film set format, they should put those worries away because you're killing it on there. Well done.
So much fun. So much fun.
Here's a reminder of what happened.
That's what we call the pump.
All right, there you go. That's what we call the pump. The pump.
That's what Randy calls the dump.
Yeah.
It's like I'm film sacking. I'm feeling the feeling of film sacking in the morning. Yeah. I'm feeling the feeling of film sacking when I go home at night. I'm film sacking here. I'm film sacking. It's like I'm in heaven. I'm film sacking everywhere.
Oh, God. That was so disgusting.
Yeah. He's gross. I think Arnold's
so dirty.
Arnold's kind of gross. I'm going to just say it. He's pretty
and
gross.
And he's kind of a dick in Pumping Iron. Yeah. And he's, you know. Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah,
he's got a cocky deal going for sure.
We suspected.
Yeah, no, I mean, like I said in the show, I don't think you get to where he is without being a little bit of a dick. You know?
Oh yeah, right. Absolutely.
I think you have to. You kind of have to.
Did you just say Schwarzenegger has a little bit of a
little tiny affected by years of steroid use wiener? Yes, that's what I said.
There's anything wrong with that.
No, there's nothing wrong with it. We're gonna
like how I backtracked in that yesterday.
I liked
it. Nothing to say. Anything wrong with that?
It was good. Right, yes. So we have on the line with us somebody named Zach. Zach, are you there?
Hello.
Oh, hello,
how
Zach.
Are you?
Fine. How are you?
I am doing great.
Oh, that makes me happy to hear that. Zach is here to be our contestant. I pulled him randomly from the call waiting pool on our Discord, and he will take part in today's contest, which Brian Ibbett will now describe.
That's right, Scott. We're going to be asking Brian Dunaway a trivia question here in just a moment. Brian is going to give his answer, and then we're going to turn to you, Zach, from wherever, USA, and ask you if the correct answer is higher or lower than Brian Dunaway's guess. Almost did it there. Almost.
Almost.
If you are correct today, you could win a copy of Monsters vs. Aliens, the movie from Ray Bradshaw. You get a download code so you can have a copy of your very own.
Yeah, Ray Bradshaw, big thanks to him. Donated it for the show. It was very kind of him. That could be yours today. Yes. Yes, Brian.
I haven't went back to see that yet, but I saw that at the drive-in theater.
Oh, how'd that go for you?
Well, perfect movie for the drive-in.
It was great movie for that. Yeah,
It's got that 50s feel, like the little saucer, metal saucers and stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm afraid to go back and watch it in any other form. I'm afraid it's going to be disappointing.
That one with Stephen Colbert is in there as the president or something, I think. Do I have that right? I didn't think of the right
movie. That is right. Yes.
Yeah, he's great in that.
And he plays Axel F.
Yeah.
To welcome the aliens or something.
Also, last night I was reminded, I keep jumping back and forth as to my favorite, but I think my favorite Rick and Morty episode is this one where there's his car battery breaks down. But the car battery is a mini universe.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And they keep going like Inception style.
It's one of the best things ever made, ever. And Stephen Colbert plays the second layer universe guy that figures out how to make his own micro universe to power their universe. That is an amazing 20 minutes to spend in your life.
It's a brilliant show. And it's funny because you'd never... You glance at the animation style and you probably, there's got to be a lot of people out there who discount it based on the animation style and say, oh, okay, well, that whatever that is, it's not for me.
Well, that's trash.
And then you watch it and it's like, oh my God, this is so well written and clever and amazing.
Yeah, and I love the animation style personally. Mm-hmm. I think it's awesome. And I love the whole conceit of that episode. You know how most shows, they have like a primary story for the episode and then some secondary story, B story, right?
Sure.
So the main story is Jerry and
Usually
Elaine.
Usually involving summer.
Yeah. Well, yeah, in that case, yeah. But it's like Jerry and Elaine are on a plane, but what's George up to? It's that idea.
Right.
Well, in this show's case, they brilliantly in that episode make both of those things dependent on each other in a way that most shows are too lazy to do. So Summer, it's the whole keep Summer safe car thing is happening all at the same time while Rick and Morty are jumping from these, into these other dimensions that are all based on the car she's in. And having that all tie together and come back at the end is brilliant. It's freaking brilliant. It's so good. Yeah. Anyway, I didn't expect to go off on that, but just letting people know, if that's one you haven't seen, season two, I think it was, worth your time. All right.
I have not started season three, and I'm so excited. I'm going to binge it all.
You are missing out. It's really good so far.
Oh, no, don't worry. I won't be missing out for long.
I saw the first two. I have not seen Pickle Rick yet.
Oh, Pickle Rick's so good.
And the new one yesterday I missed, so I'll catch up on two of those, I guess.
Okay, you guys are going to make me not binge it. You're going to make me watch it week to week and savor it.
Yeah, you slacker.
Savor it, baby.
Zach's topic is what today, Brian?
Zach's topic is the periodic table of the elements.
Oh, my gosh. Uh-oh. It's like school in here. Jeez Louise. All right. Here you go. Here's your question, Zach. Or I guess this is for Brian. Brian, here's your question. Noble gases are awesome. says the question.
So noble. Yeah.
There are six of them in the periodic table. They each have an atomic number, which is the combined total if you add all the combined total if you add all the atomic numbers for these gases? So you take all those gases and their numbers, add them up, and you end up with a number. And I'll give you a little hint, all right? It is somewhere between 10 and 900.
Wow, that is quite the range. Yep. Lucky for our listeners today, I know nothing about the periodic table.
Great.
So this is going to be an absolute pure guess.
Great.
I should have studied this in school, right? I never was a science guy.
You don't have a favorite element on there? Because I had one when
I liked biology and stuff, but as far as the chemistry stuff went, I kind of failed.
I like boron. Boron's cool.
Mm-hmm.
You just like saying boron. Yeah, boron's great.
Yeah,
he's a good friend. He's a good friend of mine. Boron's great.
Yeah, you're probably right. Boron is... Like, I almost named a dog Boron. That's how much I like that name.
That's how much you like it? I don't know. I think Einsteinium.
Einsteinium's just it's like good.
They don't try to even hide the fact that it's...
Yeah. Right. Like, isn't Newtonium the same deal? Or is, do I, am
Newtonium
I
is. Yeah, yeah, there's a few that are right. There are a few that are named after famous people.
Glad nobody named Lipschitz came up with any elements.
Lipschitzinium.
Schitzinium.
Berglium, Californium.
Oh, really? Right. Is there one called Cali? See, I don't know enough either.
Yeah, it's Californium.
I know there's a few. The Breaking Bad intro is all I know. Yeah, go ahead,
right.
Brian.
Okay, so I've seen the periodic chart of elements on many school boards. I've seen it in movies. I've seen it just many times. It looks confusing. I never really paid much attention beyond that.
Yeah.
But based on the number of grids I've seen, and just as my wild guessing goes, I'm going to go with 210.
210.
Which is either going to be really embarrassing or a really lucky guess.
All right. 210. Let's find out if that's right. Brian, is that the correct number?
210 is incorrect. Zach, is the actual answer higher or lower than 210?
Well, there's only six, so I'm going to go lower.
Lower. Look at Genius Boy coming in here with his there's only six thing. None of us knew that, did we? Did we know that about the gases? I didn't know.
I think you said it in the intro.
Oh, did I? Oh, no, I didn't. It's not in there.
That might also have been why I knew that.
No, it's not in there. I thought I did, too. Oh, no, you know what it is. This is six of them. You're right.
Yeah.
This is how smart I am. A, I didn't know there were six. B, I didn't know I said there were six. This is so embarrassing. All right. Well, let's find out if it is indeed lower. Judges, is it?
Congratulations.
Oh, all right.
You're a winner.
Now, here's the funny thing. You have never guessed quite so close except for that time you got it right on.
What?
206 is the correct answer.
Oh, wow.
You were four off, which is amazing.
Man, I should have played that like I knew it all along.
Yeah,
dang it.
Yeah.
I had two choices.
Yeah.
Protect myself from the stupid look or go for broke.
No, you did really good.
Only
206.
You were
so
one
close.
Beryllium off, basically. Oh, since that has an atomic weight of four. You were just a little beryllium off of the total.
Nerd. All right. Anyway, so there's more here to this. Neon has a value of 10. Argon has a value of 18. Krypton has a value of 36. There's a Krypton. I don't remember that.
Absolutely. Neon has a value of $29.50 is I put some on my car not too long ago.
Oh, Marin, you put neon in your car?
on the bottom, you know, for the for the effects.
Oh, you put freon in your car. No, he's saying he put neon because he's got a low rider. Is that what you're telling me?
Oh, do you? It's under your car. You've got the neon.
It's not that low. I mean,
I love you. I would love watching you in one of those jacked up freaking, you know, low tire, huge base, tinted windows black. I want to see you driving that.
And then pull up, talk some stuff to some girls and tell them the weight of the neon. Yeah,
yeah.
It'd be great.
Yeah, but then you got to play like Yacht Rock in there just to ruin everything. Oh. But play like, I don't know, Toto or freaking Asia or something. Anyway, Xenon has a value of 54. That was a place I used to go dance and date girls. That's cool.
Oh, no way. You guys had a Xenon out there, too?
We totally did.
We had a Xenon club in Denver as well.
Yep. Is it gone now like ours is?
Oh,
ours
totally gone. Yeah. It's been named like 1,000 different things, too. And yeah, it may be a country bar now, honestly.
Yeah. I think ours went through a bunch of hands, became a bunch of different clubs. For at one point, you could get in because it was non-alcoholic. Then you couldn't because it was. Then they changed it. Now I think it's like a tax office or some lame thing. It's like something. It's like a...
Really? That
yeah.
big?
Yeah, it's a bit like a big old, like, who are the people that do your taxes?
Can they H&R Block?
That's like an H&R Block, like, that's home hilarious. Base thing, yeah.
It's drown night at H&R Block. Your first beer is free while we work on your taxes.
This is the place I told you about where I peed on that guy in all the leather and had to run. Did I tell you about that? Have I told that story on here? Have I never told that story?
I don't know if you have, but... I don't know it under that description.
I think we got enough information.
I'm going to tell you how this story went real quick, Zach. Hey, bear with us. So here's how this went.
That's fine.
I'm at this place called Xenon. It was a Thursday night because it was ladies' night. They got in for free at a certain point, and me and my buddy Dan and Mark, I think, was there too. And we were there to, you know, be there because it was ladies' night. Oh, yeah, right? Mm-hmm. And I was 18. No, I was 17, but I was getting let in because they thought I looked 18. So that was cool because it was 18.
Plus, she was a lady.
It was late 18 year old. We get there early that night and we're like, you know what? Let's go in the bathroom and do that guy thing where you pee and then fix your hair and feather it because it's the late 80s and all that. So we did that and we're in there doing our thing and it's just kind of like this ritual. And at some point, I'm standing in the urinal and there's me and on my left side is a guy decked in just full leathers, like leathered out dude. Looks like he just got off a hog or something. Long hair, earrings, like sure. 5 or 6 earrings in each ear. Just looked like some kind of alien monster. He was just this huge leathered up guy. And then on the other side of me is my friend Dan. And Dan thinks it'd be funny while I'm in mid-pee if he elbows my arm and makes me kind of, you know, lose a little control of the pee.
Oh, right. Okay. Uh-huh.
And I went... Bleh, and I peed on the guy next to me by accident, just a little whip, just like a little whip out, you know, and I peed on this dude who was wearing the leather, and this guy looks down at himself, looks up at me kind of slowly. This is all like in slow motion. It was like a John Hughes movie happening in real time. And he looks at me and I booked it. And so did Dan. And we ran, and that guy ran after me with like two of his friends screaming F-bomb and yelling they were going to kill us or whatever. We ran to Dan's Chevette, piece of shit car that barely starts on a good day.
We're not getting away, are we, sir?
Yeah. And those guys chased us for a long time. We ended up getting away, but we paid our cover charge to get in and never went back that night. So it was a complete waste of money. It sucked.
Well, as far as clothing goes, leather would probably be a great thing to have on when it comes to peeing, other than a rain slicker.
You know what? I'm sure that's warm comfort for that guy today hearing that. I'm sure.
Just like your pee.
Yeah. Anyway, there's your little story for today. Zach, congratulations. You just need to send me an email, scott@frogpants.com, and I will send you this code for this film. You've been a real trooper today. Congratulations.
All right, thanks.
Thanks. He's such a person of few words. I love it. There you go. Stump Dunaway. Always a pleasure, Brian Dunaway. Anything you'd like to tell us? I guess that's it.
Oh.
We don't really have like an
end. Dave, yeah. What? Go ahead.
No, what? When? Huh? Who? Oh, it.
Who? I do a show called Comics Coast to Coast. Check it out. We have video there as well.
Oh,
I don't wear shirts.
All right.
No. I do wear shirts.
You can say things like this.
Nice bag.
Oh, wait. That's not you. Nice bag.
Nice bag.
Wait, what? That says Brian Dunaway on that file. That isn't you, is it? Okay, hold on.
They give me the gas.
There you go. That's your famous line. Yeah,
that's it.
Brian Dunaway.
Call that the pump.
Take it easy. We'll see you later. All right. Good times. Hey, I should send you a video. Why haven't I done that?
I even put that in the show notes up top, and you went right over it.
I just ignored it. I ignored it. I looked at it and said, F you, not doing it.
Oh, you know, maybe he hasn't because of the drop frame. So I'm just going to back off of that and not, you know, belabor the issue.
Oh, how are we doing on that? Let's see. 9,477 dropped frames since the show started. 14% of all frames have been dropped.
Wow.
I'll be okay unless we hit 20. Then I'll be
20%?
Concerned.
20%? Yeah. Okay.
But it's not me. It's some kind of Twitch deal. It's the news brought to you by...
In June 2016, the Frost family switched to a low-carb, high-fat diet and lost at least 40 pounds each over the next 6 months without feeling hungry or deprived. Their friends and family kept asking how they managed to lose so much weight, and eventually it seemed like a good idea to just podcast about it. Subscribe to LCHF Family to learn more about how to switch your family to a low-carb, high-fat diet. That's that LCHF, by the way. And finally achieve some real weight loss success, clearer thinking, and improved energy levels. We're not trying to sell you anything. We just want to share what we've learned. Check out LCHF Family wherever you get your podcasts today.
Wow. I want to check that. I'd like to know more about their little deal there.
Me too.
Yeah, I want to know what's up with that. I'll find out by listening to their show.
I would say that would be the best way to do it.
Trying to lose my...
Low carb, high fat.
I got the second half down. I am happy to admit that I just have a Trump 30 instead of a Trump 40, so that's good. I only have 30 left. That won't be so bad.
Yeah.
A Tokyo restaurant. You like Tokyo? You like restaurants, right?
I do like. I like both things in equal measure. I want to go back to Tokyo so bad. Tina and I talk about wanting to go back there so much, and.
You should
go back. We just gotta plan it and do it. And the thing is, there's a bunch of other places that we want to go. We want to go to New Orleans. Want to go to. We're going to Boston in the early part of next year for Geek Bowl and.
Mm-hmm.
But you know,
New Orleans.
If I could just stop going to freaking Vegas, then we could actually plan a trip to some other place.
There you go. New Orleans is okay. Just stay away. Just stay away from whatever street you're not on. If that makes any sense.
Well, basically it's French Quarter, Bourbon Street, and that's really it.
Yeah, you do anything else in your
and off of there by like 1 a.m.
Yeah, good point.
Bad things happen after 1 a.m. on Bourbon Street, I'm sure.
Definitely true. Anyway, this Tokyo restaurant. So there's this restaurant in Tokyo. They're bringing $180 beef sandwiches to San Francisco.
That seems
expensive to me, but all right, whatever. We'll hear them out.
Does that come with a nice watch?
It should. And a car?
Yeah, well, $180, a little low for a car.
That's true. This is a 1920.
Maybe an Uber ride. How's that?
Sure. Give me an Uber ride. Throw that in there for free. The same San Francisco food scene where a $400 meal at Quincy once included truffles served on iPads. Is that true?
It must be.
Why is
that's
that
funny.
A thing?
So wait, $400 meal at and I think it's just Quince.
Oh, is it just Quince? Well.
Yeah, I think so. One's included truffle. So they give you an iPad, probably an iPad Mini Mark 1.
Yeah.
And then cover it with truffles for $400.
I mean, do you keep iPad or they just serve it on iPads?
I would hope so. I don't know, though. I mean, truffles?
That's weird.
Because that would be, I mean, even if it's a low-end iPad, that's still like $280. So
aren't truffles like gooey, like goopy things? Aren't they?
You've got two different things. You've got the chocolate truffles, which are very... very tasty, often flavored with hazelnut and alcohol and stuff like that, but they burn all the alcohol stuff off. Mm. That's your one kind of truffles. Yeah. And the other kind of truffles are those really, really rare, expensive mushrooms that they have pigs who can sniff them out and dig them up.
Oh, right. They should just have another name for theirs.
I agree. It's two things that should not be named the same thing.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Because to me, it's really hard for me to separate the two. But so I assume that means the rare mushrooms. And I'll bet they keep the iPads. And also, why would you eat anything on an iPad? Come on.
Do you think there's like little finger smears on it from somebody playing Flappy Bird right before they
kind of guarantee it. Yeah. Or at the worst, it's just food on your electronics. It's bad. You shouldn't do that.
Well, here's the thing. You know, if they do it because the iPad has a photo loaded up or a screen, an image loaded up that shows this comes from this region, and it has a little circle and the truffle sits in that circle.
Oh, now that's actually kind of cool. Like, I like those Surface tables that Microsoft made a few of, and you could go to a restaurant and there'd be, you know, like in a bar or a restaurant. Well, we've seen this. We saw it at Vegas. Oh,
I found the photo.
Put it in the chat room.
I will. Give me one second here.
I'll bring that up for people to see, for the peeps.
All right. It's in Twitch chat.
Okay. I'm bringing it up here. It's sfeater. Okay. Quince now offers iPads as plates. Oh, interesting. So they're kind of disguising them.
It's just like a little video. It looks like it's just a little motion video in the background of waves or something like that.
Yeah.
And look at all the other crap on that plate, too.
I don't like it.
Big wad of moss and some grass they pulled out of the back garden. And
those are white truffles, I guess. Those little things. Are they on crackers or something? What's that big lump of shit in the corner there? Ugh.
Looks like moss. Or are you talking about the top left?
The moss. Yeah, the moss stuff.
Yeah, it looks like moss. Here's the deal. The current presentation has proved to be humorous and playful, albeit unconventional way of engaging that conversation. The food does not directly sit on top of the iPad. The removable plexi sheath is washed and sanitized after every use in keeping with all other plateware.
Okay. So it's just a little trick to whatever.
Yeah.
Nobody's keeping anything is the point.
Yeah, look at that, because they have sand up in the top right corner, and I think that's the one thing you definitely don't want on your iPad is sand.
Hey, you know what else I don't want? Is sand anywhere near my food?
Near your truffles?
Gross.
Good point.
Gross.
Well played, sir.
Freaking gross. Anyway, the whole point is you can now get a high-end Wagyu beef sandwich. You know, the one that isn't the... So there's the Kobe beef, which is not legal here, and then there's the Wagyu.
I thought it was pronounced Wagyu, but that with the Y after the G...
Maybe it's
a typo. Have I been pronouncing it wrong the whole time? I thought it was Wagyu.
Could be a typo. I wonder.
Let's see. Let's do a little pronouncy deal here.
Wagyu beef.
Ooh, I can do this. Hey, listen. Let's see if I can do this now. Okay. Ready?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello?
Ooh, I hear myself.
Did you lose me there?
No, I just hear me.
Just hear me.
Oh.
I don't hear anything.
I don't hear you.
Hold on.
Wagyu. Japanese. Wagyu.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Wagyu. Oh, so it's Wagyu.
Wagyu.
Oh, okay. You're right. It is W-A-G-Y-U. No, wait.
Wagyu, yeah.
Yeah, I've always said Wagyu as well. We were wrong.
Yeah, Wagyu. So you were hearing yourself then?
Yeah, I heard my... Every time I'd say anything, I could hear it back to me in about a half second.
Darn, okay. Well, I'll have to work on that.
Brian got a new mixer. He's working on cool stuff.
I did the new mixer, and this is going to be great for doing, like, recording the cover-thon and actually having it as a downloadable podcast this year.
Yeah, heck yeah. Plus you could do like
interviews and
sure. Plus you have your Wednesday recommendal file. You could just play right there if you wanted.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
All right, good.
Not that I benefit from that at all, because I just don't have to do the work anymore.
The robot's taking our jobs.
Let's see. Where are we here? Oh, so this Wagyu beef here, you get this in like a little burger unit. This is from Wagyu Mafia, the Tokyo-based restaurant known for highlighting the world's most expensive beefs, is plotting expansion to San Francisco sometime in 2018. Early reports say it will take shape of a luxury residential building at 1 Henry Adams in the Design District. What a bunch of hoity-toities.
Where do you live? I live at 1 Henry Adams, by the way.
Yes.
Gotta love the fact that we just spent 5 minutes figuring out how to pronounce Wagyu, and then you call the restaurant Wagyu Mafia.
I can't help it. It's still in my head.
Wagyu Mafia.
Chef Hugo Ortega. That doesn't sound Japanese to me.
It really does not. He makes great salsa, too.
Yeah, no kidding. So Bay Area restaurants, blah, 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 blah. You're looking at $180 for that sandwich, that beef sandwich.
Yeah.
I might be willing to try that one time and one time only in my life. I think it's a real high price, probably not worth it, but maybe one time I'd do it. You know what I mean?
I'll bet once you get to a $50 Wagyu sandwich, you can't tell the difference between a $50 Wagyu sandwich and a $180 Wagyu sandwich. I bet you can tell between like a smash burger and a $50 Wagyu sandwich
or
burger.
That's a good point.
Figure out what that bottom. What's your cheapest Wagyu burger?
can I get a Wagyu burger here in the States that's $50? Is that a place? Is that a thing I can do? Probably, right?
Oh, I'm sure. I even think. I think like maybe not Red Robin, but there are some of the chains that do. That do Wagyu beef. Let's see.
Here's Utah's best Wagyu steaks. Let's see. Jeffrey's Steakhouse in Moab. Let's see. Snake Farm, River Farms. Oh, I know where that is. Okay, let's try this one here.
How come when I search for Wagyu Burger Arvada, the first thing that comes up is Burger King? I think not.
No, they're never putting Wagyu beef in there. Never. It's no way.
No, definitely not.
Okay, here we go. Experience pure beef. The beauty of American Wagyu beef. So maybe this is different. Mm-hmm. Raised finest stock, best environment, intense taste, more than any other breed. Prime highest USDA marbling grade for beef. The butter knife beef. You can slice it like butter. Okay, so if I go to Jeffrey's Steakhouse in Moab, which is beautiful, I would love to go there. I will get Wagyu beef, and I'll bet this is not super expensive. In fact, here's their menu.
I'll bet.
Their menu says, oh, they don't have prices.
Damn. We have Bistro CV in Steamboat Springs that has a purebred Wagyu beef with foie gras on top of it.
Oh, my gosh. That's the choked chickens or whatever, right?
It's like pate, right? Liver pate?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, but don't they force like their fist down a goose's neck or something? And
fattened goose liver. I don't know. Yeah, they probably
chat room
they
knows.
Probably do some bad things to the goose to make sure that they get the fattest.
Good news 11 is like, that's Scott, that's not what it is. Well, I tell me what it is. How does it work? Because my understanding was the reason people are mad about foie gras is that you hold down the goose and you force feed it something or something like that. Oh yeah, they force feed the goose. Yeah, they see they're all doing it. It's not chickens. It's also not
they
ducks.
Especially
is it? It's not
they
ducks.
Especially fatten. Workers ram pipes down the throats of male ducks twice each day, pumping up to 2.2 pounds of grain.
Oh my gosh, that's not nice.
That comes from PETA. So
yeah, freaking PETA.
And I think there are, and JC Calhoun in the chat room asked the question, is actual foie gras legal in the USA? And I think there are states where it's not legal, where you can't get foie gras.
How do you spell foie gras?
F-O-I-E-G-R-A-S. Foie gras.
Foie gras. Okay, foie gras legal in Utah. I just want to see if I can get it here.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Doesn't say. It's banned in California because they're a bunch of hippies.
Foie gras?
Yeah. Want to shoot and eat crow?
It's a banned in California or it's banned in California?
Sorry, it's banned. They do not allow it in California.
Okay. I don't know if you're saying that like an Italian dude. It's a banned in California.
Welcome to the main stage. Foie gras, everybody. Foie gras.
We're finally able to play here until PETA shuts us down. We're taking it back.
That's right. All right, let's move on to this story. A man dressed as Chewbacca, you know, the Star Wars character. Yep, that's the one. You do a good one. I always like yours.
Thanks.
Attacked a resort worker with a snowboard after being told to remove his costume. Police say the 51-year-old man dressed as the Star Wars character hit a member of staff at the Alpine Way Resort in Thredbo. Where's Thredbo? That's near you? No? Is that somewhere? Oh, Australia.
UK.
Oh.
Oh, well, no, I think Australia. I think you're right. This came from the Standard in the UK, but it's an article from Australia that quote.
These have ski resorts in Australia? They have snow there ever?
He's trying to get to the lift to see Han. He's trying to get to the lift to see Han.
You think they'll make Donald Glover say that? Like get choked and say something? No?
Just as a callback? No. It's not like a I don't think that's considered to be Lando, his gimmick.
That'd be really funny, though. Because his real gimmick is what? What have we here? Like, he has so many stupid
exactly.
things.
He's got to be a smarmy Code 45. It goes down smooth.
We got to get to that Death Star.
No, but all right. But it would be great if, like, the first time Lando and Han meet, they're, like, in a bar or something, and Lando is choking on an olive or something. He's, I'm sorry. Han, it's nice to meet you.
You know, I'd pay extra money. You know how people pay for 3D or IMAX? I'd pay extra money for that scene. But
for that scene?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I totally would. Well, anyway, so this guy, he's 51 years old. He's dressed as a Star Wars character, hit a member of the staff, allegedly left the 55-year-old victim, who was the staff member, with facial and dental injuries. Yuck.
Oh, jeez.
Chewbacca was arrested and charged with using an offensive weapon to commit a indictable offense. According to Australia's Daily Telegraph, the suspect spoke on social media that he lost his temper when the staff told him he could not ride in costume. He lost consciousness and some teeth, he wrote. Been ordered not to have contact with the Threadbow staff, even if I know them about what happened, and must stay 15 kilometers away from Threadbow.
So, you know, we learn from this, of course.
What?
Let the Wookiee win.
Oh, see? See?
Thank you. Thank you very much, everybody.
It's not just in holograph chess or whatever that was called.
Try the Wagyu. I'll be here all week.
Try the $180 Wagyu sandwich, everybody. Oh, speaking of food, perfect transition.
Uh-huh.
Alton Brown, famous chef man. Yeah. He still does things, right?
Still does things. I don't know if is he still doing the Iron Chef? Like, he's the new announcer dude.
Oh, I don't know. Is that still on? Might be.
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't watch Food Network.
Fukui-san. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah.
It looks like he's using some sort of Wagyu beef in his souffle.
Oh, my. Well, now we've seen. Oh, that show. It's just too much.
Fukui-san. Yes, go ahead. Best drinking
game Japanese ever. One's the best. Japanese one's the best, though, because the secret ingredient is the best part.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Yes, watching that. What was he? The commander? Not the commander. What was he? Not commissioner.
The Lord Commander. The King of the North.
The champion. The King of the North.
The Queen of
Dragons.
I don't
know what that guy's name was. The guy who bites into the bell pepper at the beginning of the show. Yeah.
What's his name, guys? Come on. Announcer. Chairman.
The chairman? The chairman.
The
okay.
chairman. Yeah, the chairman, dude. So dumb.
But go ahead, yes. Go ahead.
You kind of have it down. That's exactly what that show is constantly, is just that, what you just did. Anyway, Alton Brown found a really ugly dog, what he describes as a hideously ugly dog, and he named it Gordon Ramsay.
Oh.
Which is pretty great. Is there a little feud with those two? Who knows? Let's find out.
No, I don't think there is.
Oh, okay, good. Famous foodie Alton Brown dinged a fellow celebrity chef in a funny Twitter video, comically dubbing the hideous ugly dog he found Gordon Ramsay. All jokes aside, Brown needs your help finding the dog's owner. Evidently somebody's pet, he assessed, noting it's very sweet and housebroken. After a little Gordon Ramsay followed him home, Brown took the dog to the vet, where it was determined he was not chipped. What does that mean? Oh, doesn't have a chip.
Having a microchip implanted.
I thought that was another
word.
Definitely
have your animal's microchip. That's.
That was another neuter word or something. I guess not.
No. They chipped off his penis.
Yeah. My dog has a chip, but she has, it's like a little Tylenol under the skin. Like a little.
Yes.
Yeah, is that how it's supposed to be? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Yep. And then they can take him to a vet. If she ever gets lost, they just go to a vet with a little scanner. Boop, boop. Oh, that's Scott Johnson's dog.
Yeah. It's like Mission Impossible 3 had one of those inside of Felicity. She had one of those that blew up in the helicopter. Remember that? That was a good dog.
There's nothing ugly about this dog. It's a Shar-Pei. It's beautiful.
Yeah, there's nothing here. Chat, let's look at this dog. I'll show
you
here.
What a cute dog.
Yeah, he's fine. It's fine. It's a fine dog. Okay, there's listen, Alton Brown also probably not qualified to say certain things are ugly because I think he's
no, and ugly. I think he named the dog Gordon Ramsay because he's wrinkled in the face like Gordon Ramsay kind of says weird facial wrinkles.
Yep. Oh, he's talking. Hold on. Let me play this.
Yeah. Sweet. And housebroken. And now he's at my office and we just took him to the vet and he does not have a chip implanted in him. So now, hey, dog. Gordon Ramsay, come here. Somebody said I should name him Gordon Ramsay. Anyway, he's not my dog. I'm not keeping him. But if you know this dog, hey, over here.
Oh, wow. Is that what those are called, Sharpays?
It's a Sharpay, yeah.
Those are awesome.
Yeah.
I want one that looks like a rolled up carpet.
Our Daisy is half Sharpei, half German Shepherd, and you can take the extra skin from the top of her head and pull it over the front of her face like a bad toupee.
Oh, I like that. That's awesome. Look at that. I want to do that with a dog. I want extra skin on the dog. Alton Brown has followed up. Here's an update to the story. Thanks to the interwebs, Ollie, which is his real name, has been returned to his rightful home. Thanks to all. Oh. You know, stuff like this is good during a shitty weekend of news.
I probably said to Alton at the very end, thanks for getting me back home, you beep donkey.
You mother effer. Probably.
Piss off.
Final story. 100-year-old fruitcake was found perfectly preserved in Antarctica. If you were under the impression that fruitcakes could last the test of time, you were right. The Antarctic Heritage Trust has recovered a 100-year-old fruitcake on Cape Adare in Antarctica, where famed explorer Robert Falcon Scott's team was likely based for the Terra Nova expedition. It was perfectly preserved. You said you could even smell, like it smelled fine. You could eat it. 100 years old. It was in a rusted old thing. The canister in the tin, they call it, was already falling apart. So that didn't last, but the fruitcake therein did. The artifacts will be returned to the huts. Wait, what does that say? Oh, I guess the area is protected now, so any of this kind of stuff, they have to kind of keep it there. They once said it was a perfect and ideal high-energy food for Antarctic conditions. It is still a favorite item bought by people for modern trips to the ice. They said this in 2016. The team from the Trust has conserved over 1,500 artifacts from Cape Adare. Conservators are now planning on conserving the huts that were built. They want to make the place kind of a living museum, I suppose. But anyway, yeah. Question. Let's say they're a listener up there. Nope. They're like, you know.
Nope. I can just answer this right now. I know what you're going to ask. The answer is nope.
Yeah, I would. I don't think I would either.
Not even 1 year old. Not even 1 month old.
Do you remember Journey to the Center of the Earth, the old movie? Like the really old one? Did you ever see that?
Yeah. The one prior to The Rock? Yes.
Yeah. Or was it The Rock? No, that Rock wasn't was the Rock. That was George of the Jungle. What's his name? That was
Brendan Fraser.
Brendan Fraser, I think, that did that.
Wasn't there a sequel with the Rock? Hold on, maybe. Journey.
I mean, it's
what why am I thinking? Why am I connecting it with The Rock?
I don't know, but I don't. When you say it kind of sounds right.
Yeah, that's my Mandela effect right there.
Yeah.
So yeah, Brendan Fraser in the first one, and Josh Hutcherson.
Oh, the Hutcherson boy.
The Hutcherson boy.
He's a handsome young man.
And then wasn't there two? Here we go. Journey to the Center of the Earth 2, starring Dwayne Johnson.
Oh, you're right. I never knew there was a
Vanessa
2.
Vanessa Hudgens.
No idea there was a 2.
And Michael Caine.
I'm sorry, Mr. Wayne.
I'll be in your movie, whatever you want to pay me.
Yeah. He's pretty much up for it. Whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, in that movie, there's a scene in the old one, like the old 60s one, where they get to the city of Atlantis, the lost city of Atlantis, and they find some bread, and it's stacks of like round bread, like loaves of bread, and they go to get it because they're starving, and they grab it, and it just turns to dust in their hands.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, you know how this is when you're a kid, there's certain things you see that are burned into your brain. That scene burned into my brain forever.
Really? Just that the
it's visceral to me. When I just think about it and talk about it, it's like I'm watching it over again. There's something about them breaking that bread into dust just stuck with me. I don't know why, but it's one of those things. Yeah.
Just into dust. Wow. Just,
there it is in my head. Won't leave. That's it for your news. We're going to take a break. When we come back, our good buddy Steven Schleicher will be here, and then our also good buddy Daryl will be here. They're going to come one after the other. So come on back for that. Before that, though, there's probably some sort of indie in the middle Brian has brought, and he'll talk about it now.
There is. I will. This is great. This is another one that's like that I heard this song, heard all the songs on the four-song EP that they sent, and I'm already loving it, and I want to hear more. The album is called Lavender Sound. The singer is a Macon, Georgia singer, Louise Warren, and her voice at times reminds me of Dolores O'Riordan from the Cranberries, sometimes Fiona Apple, who she credits as one of her influences. She's just got a really beautiful, clear voice, and does a great job. The song I'm going to be playing today is called Don't You Dare Again. It's from her brand new album, Lavender Sound. Here is Louise Warren.
Trouble from the start, bitter batter so strong, put me in an ER, one move. Jump from sweet to tart, back to poison when we are apart. Don't you dare go breaking my, don't you go breaking my heart now, baby. Don't you dare go breaking my, don't you go breaking my heart now, baby. Your phantasms to enchanting, baby. Caught in your web, spin me away. Yeah, I'd kinda like to be your prey. But don't you dare go breaking my, don't you go breaking my heart now, baby. Don't you dare go breaking my, don't you go breaking my heart now.
Hey, TMS listeners, have you ever tried a Kind bar? You might have seen them in your local grocery store, coffee shop, or maybe gym. They make delicious, healthy snacks while using whole ingredients you can recognize and pronounce. Well, if you're ready to try some tasty and healthy snacks, we've got a special deal for you. You can try 10 Kind bars for free. All you have to do is pay shipping. When you order the sample box, you also get to try Kind's Snack Club, where you'll receive monthly snacks at a discount and get members-only bonuses. You shouldn't have to choose between your health and taste when it comes to snacking. That's why both award-winning chefs and nutritionists love and recommend Kind bars. I tried their 10 snack sample box, and I love the blueberry ones. Also really like the dark chocolate nuts and sea salt. To pick up your free sample box, go to kindsnacks.com/frogpants. That's kindsnacks.com/frogpants. We thank them for sponsoring the show.
Regular Colgate brushing for most people instantly helps stop bad breath that starts in the mouth.
I had the Colgate girl and boy.
Brush three ways clean to both enjoy. Cleaner breath, cleaner taste, cleaner teeth. Three ways clean is Colgate clean. Help fight decay with Colgate. Three ways clean is Colgate clean.
Well, there's something recorded on that new wire, Dick.
The Morning Stream. Man, give me $50.
Okay, we're back, everybody. You know, she also had a little bit of a Lord thing going.
Oh, yeah, I could hear that.
Yeah, yeah. A little Lord-like.
Yeah, her whole album, or at least, like you said, the songs I've heard from it, I had a really hard time picking which song to play. Because the rest of it is just fantastic. So
yeah, it's good stuff.
So good.
Hey, someone in the chat room, DarkSting77, says he's really into Path of Exile. It's good right now. That game is real good. They've this latest patch is pretty freaking sweet. I agree with you. All right. What now? Now is Steven time. That's what time it is now.
Okay. What now?
What now?
What now?
Let me add him to the Dirkolin and see what he's up to. Probably lots of good things, as always. So let's play this. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program, Steven Schleicher from Hayes, Kansas. What's going on?
Good morning.
How are
you? Monday.
Yeah,
2 more days and the kids go back to school. Woo! Hooray!
Yeah.
You're one of those parents who loves that, celebrates that day too, right?
I think they're excited about it too, because they're like, oh, Dad, we've been home all summer. Yeah.
I'm excited because the boy goes back, let's see, Monday. Monday. And he starts his freaking senior year.
Wow. All
right.
Yep. The town crier has grown up. that's what he's saying right now, honestly. He's not looking forward to it. But I told him, I said, look, just knock this one out. One more 9-month chunk of stuff. No big deal. That time will come so fast and go so quick you won't even know it. Get your grades up, be solid and good, and then you're done. And then you get to decide what you want to do with the whole college thing. That's all on you. No longer are you required by the state or a federal government to be in class. You can now make life decisions of your own. And he kind of looked at me like, oh, he doesn't like that idea. So anyway, we'll see how it goes.
He's going to live at home with you forever.
Yeah. How come? So hold on. Are your kids going back at a weird day, like the Thursday or Friday or something?
They go on Wednesday for a half day, then they go back full on Thursday and Friday.
That's weird. School should always start on a Monday, shouldn't it? Always? It should.
Sometimes, I think, and we used to do this at the university level before they got rid of it, but it takes some people a little bit of time to get into the motion of getting back into a regular routine. Yeah. And so if they can just kind of treat those first 2.5 days as kind of light exercise, mm-hmm. and then hit it on Monday, mm-hmm. it kind of gets everyone kind of settled down and works some bugs out.
I could see that, I guess. Well, we're here to celebrate something today. Jack Kirby, his 100th birthday comes up on the 28th of August.
It is coming up very quickly. Boy, 100 years old.
He doesn't look a day over 71. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Well, yeah, he passed away.
Ago.
Yeah. Long time ago.
It's like 2004. Yeah. So it wasn't that long ago that he passed away.
World War II hero. Guess who else didn't like Nazis? Right. Jack Kirby didn't like Nazis.
Yeah. Jack Kirby. Did not approve. Mm-hmm. Every time that I talk with or see writers or creators who have met Jack Kirby, they're like, yeah, I met Jack Kirby, and he's always talking about his World War II stories. Mm-mm. And all of his World War II stories end up with him killing 4 Nazis.
Yeah.
Really? That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. The world's better with less Nazis, better world, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Well done, Jack.
Not political, but hey, are a lot of really great Jack Kirby things to go and look for.
Yeah.
Right now, DC has just launched a 6-issue miniseries called Mr. Miracle, mm-hmm. which is based on Jack Kirby's New Gods series. So DC, not too long ago, I want to say maybe 4 or 5 years ago, collected the entire Jack Kirby New Gods run into 4 omnibi that you can go out and buy. And they are fantastic because this is, you know, Jack Kirby created the Fantastic Four, many of the characters over at Marvel, but over at DC, he really put his mark down and really created this whole new universe of characters in the New Gods. And it is totally trippy. It's totally worth checking out if you can track those down. So highly recommended. But yeah, Jack Kirby and a lot of people are celebrating his 100th birthday this month, but his actual birthday is on the 28th.
Mm. Yeah, he deserved. He's iconic as you get. I mean,
oh yeah,
Stan Lee's great and all. I love me some Stan Lee, but I feel like sometimes Kirby got the shaft in terms of notoriety. And I actually feel this way about artists in general. The artists always seem to be the ones getting the shaft for whatever
reason. There are a couple of books that people might want to track down. One is the what is it called? I've got it sitting right here. It's the unofficial, let's see, Marvel Comics, The Untold Story by Sean Howe.
Yeah.
And it goes into, this is a couple of years old, and this there's some bias in here, I think, in the book. But through interviews and accounts from other people, they go through and talk about some of the dirty, I don't want to say dirty dealings, but some of the very uncomfortable dealings that took place with many of their creators, including Jack Kirby, and his anger over how he was treated at Marvel.
Mm. Yeah, I should read that. That sounds like something I'd get into.
Yeah, it's really good. It's also available on audiobook, which is also really good. I listened to the entire book while I went to Nerdtacular back this year. So it's a great book, but do realize there's probably a little bit of bias in there because many of the interviews are from people who are a little upset about the time periods that they're being interviewed in. So.
Yeah, I can understand that. So Stanley's, they had their little falling out or whatever, but he...
Mm-hmm.
He speaks very highly of Jack, right?
Like he always does. And even though they had a falling out, the story is that Stan Lee asked if he could go to Jack Kirby's funeral. And while everyone was in a receiving line for Jack's wife, Stan slipped out of the back because he didn't want to make anything comfortable. But, you know, his wife, Jack's wife, saw him leave, but was very pleased that he attended the funeral. So, yes, he always had tremendous respect for Jack Kirby.
How could you not? You'd have to. Like the guy, the guy was amazing. All right, well, there you go. Jack Kirby, getting them Nazis. DC, kicking off a hotly anticipated new series, Dark Knight's Metal number 1. So I assume this is Batman fights Kiss, right? Is that how this is going to go? No?
Well, Batman will...
Made so with their blood.
here is the pitch. The DC sent me the issue today. Many places are already posting their reviews and a crap ton of previews, which basically, if you look around to the various sites, Washington Post is one of them. You can almost read the entire issue today before it arrives on Wednesday, but this is really good. And basically, the overall question is, if you are so driven to find out everything, if you are someone who seeks knowledge, are you willing to open that door to unleash evil into this universe?
Oh, wow.
And it appears that Batman does. And as we've seen in a bunch of covers and solicitations for this already, there are 6 evil Batman that are about to enter the DC universe from the dark multiverse.
Oh, wow.
And what is really cool about this, and again, this is not a review, DC Comics, if you're listening, because I'm not supposed to do a review until Wednesday. This incorporates
NDA.
Yes, this incorporates so much of the last, 35, 40 years of DC Comics, going really all the way back to Crisis on Infinite Earths. And there are characters that are, Silver Age characters that appear in this book that will have a really kind of important role in this first issue. And so the downside is that it is really reliant on the reader's knowledge of who all these characters are and why they're important in the DCU. On the other hand, the opening pages have the Justice League essentially transforming into a giant Voltron and beating the crap out of Mongol.
Okay, you got me there. I'm in.
Yeah, I mean, it deals with some dark subjects, but at the same time, as Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo are saying, it's so metal in that you have these events where you've got Justice League Voltron beating the crap out of a intergalactic despot. So
yeah, Scott Snyder, really, as far as I'm concerned, the Scott Snyder Greg Capullo combo has been nothing but great for me in my reading. I've loved everything they've done together on the Batman new DC thingy that they did. That whole run was incredible. I already liked Capullo from before that. His Spawn work is better than anything McFarlane ever did. So the fact that they're doing this together is just, I could not be more excited about this series.
Yeah, so if people are rushing out to go check out that Washington Post story, it does reveal the final page of the issue, which is kind of a big bomb. But as Snyder has said in the interview, he went to someone that everyone knows very well and asked permission. And after they talked about what the role is for this character in the book, this author, who many people know from all of his other important works out there, including one that's on Stars right now. He basically says, hey, this is a kind of a cool thing. Go for it.
Yeah.
And there's some really cool moments in this book. Again, not a review. I would say if people love DC Comics and want to not see a publisher trying to make excuses for what's gone on, and especially in the last 20 years, but want to kind of embrace that and maybe explain it, then this is a place to start.
The cover's great. It's basically someone throwing the metal horns, but with characters. It's hard to explain.
Yeah. Well, like on the cover, the main cover has the Justice League, but you'll see other ones like Wonder Woman and Batman, or Superman dressed in like armor, and there's Batman riding on top of a dinosaur, which is really cool, and it's just really neat throughout. So
very excited about this.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna say too much, but I was talking to a certain writer of a certain comic book today, and he sent me a picture of something that's coming up. And oh my gosh.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm all in. I want to buy, I'm going to go get these. The bigger question is, how come bleedingcool.com broke embargo? They have a review up today. I wonder what that's about.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, Bleeding Cool kind of does whatever they want to do. And some people aren't happy about that. Some people are always like, well, even though Bleeding Cool may seem like they're rocking the boat, they really have made these back end deals with various publishers. And I'm not going to say what, one way or another what they've done. Mm-hmm. Rich has done some good reporting over the years. Sometimes he's done stuff that is very controversial and wrong. Mm-hmm. I think they just are like, hey, we'll just do this. Email that DC sent to me said, do not release your review until Wednesday morning when the book is on the shelf. So
yeah, these guys and Bleeding.
But then again, Washington Post has like the end of this issue is on the Washington Post website. And it's also on the Major Spoilers website now. So
I think what happens is they got to cover their butts, but then they're the big fish out there. Like Bleeding Cool's a pretty big fish. And I think they probably are okay with this, you know, especially because I'm seeing nothing but positive things from everybody.
And I think that that's kind of it too, because usually it's Friday afternoon. DC sends out all the stuff to us to say, here are the books that you can review next week. Please keep an embargo until a certain date. Mm. And I don't know. This one feels like it was a big risk for DC to take, especially in light of what's gone on over at Marvel with the Steve Rogers Hail Hydra thing, especially in light of another story that I have here about the comic book industry really slipped in the last couple of months. Comic sales are down like 30%. So this feels like it's a big risk for DC, and they're maybe not sure how the general public is going to take it, because I can really see a lot of people's initial reaction. We've already seen this online already, where people are like, oh, so there's a bunch of evil Batman that are the Justice League, and they're not really approaching this. So I think maybe DC and holding these back and asking us not to do these reviews early are maybe a little bit worried, maybe kind of like the... what was the movie that came out where they held the embargo until like Friday afternoon before the movie? Oh, it was one that just came out.
Dark Tower.
Yeah. Well, that's because
I have a feeling that they were a little worried about that. But everyone who's been commenting about this morning on Twitter and in that review and everything, this is a good book to go check out.
Yeah, it's your A-team, and I don't have a problem with it. What has anybody got any theories as to why a 30% drops? Like, the July numbers are hideous. What happened?
So, typically during the summer is when you have your major drop-offs. I mean, you know, your kids are out of school, they've got other things to do, they're doing their summer jobs, they're going to the pool, they're doing everything but sitting indoors reading comic books, or they're playing video games and that kind of stuff. So, a drop is not uncommon during the summer months, but considering this is the second major drop in as many months, is not a major slump. But I mean, back in the 70s and in the 80s and the 90s, we had slumps like this as well. I'm not going to say that this is the beginning of the end, but there are many parallels that I see going on in the industry that remind me of 1990 all over again. And that is somewhat concerning. So hopefully something like Dark Knight Metal can maybe right the ship, and maybe what's coming next from Marvel will also kind of right the ship and get people excited. But then again, we'll look in August and September and see how those numbers are going to go. And I'm going to bet we're going to see a rebound in the comic book market by the time we hit October. But again, sales kind of slump during the summer months, so this isn't too big of a deal. But if October rolls around and we're still seeing a slump, then there's something that we need to be looking at.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious about that, because if it sustains itself when kids are back in school and they would rather be reading comics than doing their homework, then I worry. And also, these numbers still don't reflect any digital, right? That's never
right. So that's the other thing, is these numbers are only comics sold to the direct market, meaning comic book shops. So your Borders, your B. Daltons, your Comixologies, those are not included in these sales. Mm. Likewise, and I don't know if it's listed in the link that I sent you guys, but the trade paperbacks also kind of had a dump. But again, those are two local comic shops, and there are less than 3,000 comic book shops in the United States. And that's not counting anything that's going on at the bookstore. So if you're going to a brick and mortar, you're going to Amazon sales, none of that is included in this data.
Hmm.
Right. And which is always frustrating, because from what I've heard, and we can kind of take this roughly, the digital comic book sales are about 10% of what the physical comic book sales are.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
So if something sells, in this case, the prelude to this Dark Knight Metal number one, the prelude sold like 128,000 copies. Yeah. So about 10,000 of those are sold on digital.
Jeez, that's 10% doesn't seem like a lot, does it?
No, it doesn't.
In other words, what I'm saying is this does not say huge shift from print to digital. What it means is comic books are just kind of in a weird place right now. Like,
But there are so many good things that are coming out of this, right? So, and without trying to put comics down, they are kind of like they are the ingredients for many, many greater things. So just announced last week, that was that Skybound Entertainment, which is Robert Kirkman's deal. Yeah. He's made a first look deal with Amazon Prime so that any new thing that he works on, Amazon Prime can say, hey, we want to take your newest creation and we want to make it a series on Amazon Prime. Very much like what we see with The Tick, just like we see with many of his other properties, including The Walking Dead. Yeah. And what's the vampire diseased one?
No, it's the possession one.
Outcast. Yeah.
By the way, Outcast is pretty cool. I like it.
That's what everyone says.
It's on a channel that nobody cares about. I mean, it's on Cinemax, I think. But
yeah,
it's pretty. I like it. That's really
so. The cool thing is, we have all these comic book creators and publishers that have some fantastic IP. That then go on and have a life and build something better in movies and television, in web series, on, you know, on demand type services.
Sure.
That, you know, it's good. And sometimes you may have to say, well, it's okay that our books are only selling 5,000 copies, providing we can keep that IP alive so it can live somewhere
else. Become something else. Yeah, I totally get that. But I also think part of the problem here is that if you have an Avengers movie or you have a Captain America movie, a Batman movie, a Justice League movie, what it ends up happening is people go see that. And in that 2 hours, people are kind of getting their fill of the thing that they went for. And so they're not as motivated as the way you got these stories before is you bought the comic books because that's the only place you got them. Now you get them on this grand stage for relatively little money and it just kind of tides you over.
Well, and then, you know, on top of that is that the movie studios are on this push or not. Yeah, the studios, not the theaters, but the studios are on this push that, hey, within 3 months or now even less than 3 months, we're going to get that movie onto iTunes. We're going to get that onto the digital. We're going to get it onto Blu-ray so people can consume it again and again and again. Mm-hmm. I think you're right in a little way there, Scott, is that there is not a gap for someone to go, oh, man, I sure wish I could go see some more Avengers or get me some more Avengers action stuff because it's right there.
Yeah.
They can go back to the movie theater multiple times or they can get it instantly on the digital or Blu-ray once it's released, that there's not time to go, oh, let me go to a comic book shop and track some of this stuff down.
Yes, I don't know. I feel like it's being undervalued and it bums me out, but I guess we'll see.
No, as a medium, I agree with you. It is totally being undervalued. I know so many people are saying, hey, the geeks have won and this is proof of it. But when you look at the source material, yeah, it's not dying, but it's certainly at a struggle. It's still trying to find itself and it's having some great moments. It's having some great rebounds. If we look over the last 5 years, the comic book industry has really come around and the sales have increased dramatically. And a lot of this has to do with the things that are going on in the movies. But also we have so many other smaller publishers that are coming out with some great titles that are attracting more readers. I think one of the biggest problems with some publishers is this idea that their main demographic are 30 plus males.
Yeah.
And they're not looking at, hey, look at the, you know, at one point there were more female readers of comics than there were male readers of comics. And so I think some publishers have kind of lost their way on that.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping they're going to turn it around and find that audience again.
Yeah. Maybe hire more female producers and creators at these companies. That might be.
Yeah, it could be. It could be one way, but you know.
It's one way to do it.
That's one way to do it. I mean, anyway. There's so many good, I mean, there's so many good books. Helps too.
Right, exactly.
There's so many good books out there that that people should track down. But yes, finding finding that audience and creating comics for, and go back to Jack Kirby. Did you know that Jack Kirby is basically the creator of romance comics?
Oh, no, I did not know that.
So if you go back in the 1950s and 60s when he was kicked out of Marvel the first time, he went and created the romance genre.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For comic books and did all the art for this stuff. And it's fantastic. And you can bet who was reading all of that at that time.
Yep. No, totally.
So
I would also, something just hit me as we were talking before. Somehow, sneakily, without me really paying attention, all of my favorite comic book artists working today are women. Mm-hmm. Fiona Staples, Amanda yep. Connor, Nicola Scott, who's doing her run on Wonder Woman, is incredible.
Oh yeah,
the Gail Simone. These people are killing it. And I think about who my favorite, like right now, like hands down, Fiona Staples is my favorite artist in comics. Mm-hmm. I freaking love mm-hmm. everything she does. And I didn't really even notice when this happened. I mean, look, I love Greg Capullo, I love George Perez, I love, you know, people who have been doing this stuff for a long time. But there's something about these like fresh female artists right now that are just killing it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So much good stuff out there.
Yeah, I love it.
And you know, the nice thing is, unless you're someone who's like, oh, is this a male writer or a female writer, creative, whatever, if you're not paying attention to that stuff, there's your mind opens up and there's so many cool things out there. DC just announced their list of people who are going to be part of their writer's workshop for 2017. Mm. And one of them, I forget her name, Savaggio, I think is how you say her last name. I may be wrong on that, but she wrote this great series for, I think, Oni Press just not too long ago called Kim and Kim, which is wonderful. Mm. And it's really cool. And so it's great to see someone who's working in independent get picked up by this DC writers workshop, because now they will be in the future doing some more work with the bigger publishers. So that gets them even bigger exposure.
Sure. Why not? Yeah, I'm all in on that. All right. Well, let's make comics great again, everybody. Let's get it happening. Steven, awesome stuff. Anything happen on the site people should know about before we let you go?
No, hey, if you want to go over to YouTube, but we do have a link there at majorspoilers.com. If you missed the DuckTales episode one that they ran 24 hours on the Disney XD, it's now available online on YouTube and you can go check that out. Should be great times for everyone who loved DuckTales back in the 80s.
Yeah. People are excited about that thing. Yep. And there's going to be some kind of crossover with Darkwing Duck, I heard.
That's what they're saying now. Not that there will be a Darkwing Duck series, but he will probably be in this show at some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Good luck, all you '90s kids. It sounds exciting. Steven Schleicher, everybody. It's Major Spoilers on Twitter, majorspoilers.com. Take it easy. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye, guys.
Bye now.
See you.
Comic books, Brian. Comic books.
Comic books. Comical books.
They're very complicated. The world of comics. Okay, we're going to call Daryl. His Sozi's away, so this could be interesting. Maybe he won't answer. I don't know.
He's in a meeting.
Oh, there he is.
Show me this unit.
Show me this unit, says my Star Trek clip of the day. Daryl Skeel's on the line, the Trek nerd. What's going on? Hello?
Just the usual.
Oh, there you are. Do you have your booster?
No, we have this horrid thing.
Do you have your booster today?
Yeah, it's not really doing anything.
No, it doesn't seem like it's working at all.
Oh, that's just lovely.
Maybe hang up, call him back?
We could sure try. Let's try that. That's a good idea. Hold on, let me pause this. All right, I hear you now.
So much better.
Yeah, I'm getting a post-it note?
Yes, yep. He's got post-it note over his camera.
Post-it notes. Do you think we ever, and this is I mean this in an honest way, do you think we ever get rid of post-it notes, or are we forever going to have post-it notes?
Oh, they're forever. They should be all over the Enterprise.
Okay. You don't think there's any way some other tech, like virtual holographic post-it notes, ever takes over?
No, you're right. I think there will be some reusable version of post-it notes.
All right. I like your thinking.
So you don't throw them away. You just clear them and write them again.
Yeah, because this is a paper thing, you know? Yeah, Brian.
My mother-in-law is in love with the old Mac app for Post-it Notes, Stickies.
Oh, Stickies.
So basically, when you launch her computer, the desktop is covered with Stickies with every password and every number that's ever needed on her computer, every phone number, everything.
I love the idea that you have passwords for things that are supposed to be secure on a desktop covered in
passwords. That automatically launch when you power up the computer.
Yeah.
Too.
I mean, I've
talked to her about that.
I kind of understand where she's coming from. Like, from a practical sort of, I don't know, older person point of view, I could see this. Like, oh, it's very convenient. Here's the password. Here's where I log in. But, yes. Yeah, they kind of need to not do that. Daryl Skills is here to talk to us about the happenings and goings on in the world of Star Trek. That's what we check in with him every Monday for. And there's a Star Trek cruise coming. And you might say to yourself, oh, who's that? Like Q and a couple of Ferengis?
Right.
No.
Dude who played Barkley.
Yeah, the Barkley guy. It's everybody. So name off who's on this thing. Why would I want to go first of all? But
well,
yeah,
it's not quite everybody. There are no captains. That's so cool. That's kind of weird. Yeah. But
that is interesting.
It's like everybody else is there.
Yeah. Why do you think no captains? What do you think
happens? So this happens. Oh, not
because it's a cruise ship.
Yeah, money.
They don't want to confuse things by having more captains on a cruise ship. Because they'll be running around going, look at me, look at me. I'm the captain now.
Yeah,
no,
I'm the captain now. And then what if happened? What if the ship went down? Would they all have to go down with the ship probably? Every captain? That's how it would go. No, so here's who you got. You got Captain Sulu. He's a captain. He's there.
Well, yeah.
Technically, he's a captain of the Excelsior in that one timeline. George Takei, of course. He's hosting this. Jonathan Frakes. Brent Spiner, Carl Urban. Oh, speaking of Brent Spiner, he's in that Outcast show, and he's really good on it. Carl Urban, LeVar Burton. Wait, Carl Urban, that's cool.
Yeah.
He didn't need to.
Get your old and new actors.
He's a big movie guy. He didn't need to be bothered with this, but I'm so happy he is. That's so cool. Anyway, LeVar Burton, Gates McFadden, Michael Dorn, John DeLancey. Great. Don't have a dollar short on your freaking signed photo of him, though, or he'll space on you. Nana Visitor. Robert Picardo, that's the closest you're going to get to Picard. Rene Auberjonois, he'll be there. Benson, Connor Trinier, who's that guy? I don't know that person.
That's today. From Enterprise.
Oh, all right. Okay. Ethan Phillips, also from Enterprise, maybe?
No, he's from Voyager.
Oh, Voyager, all right.
He's the brat-looking guy.
Oh, all right.
Or whatever.
Denise
Hedgehog guy.
Yeah. He's the guy. He's the other one from Benson. That's the guy.
Neelix. Neelix.
Yeah, Neelix.
Yeah.
Hedgehog guy. You don't like Voyager very much, do you?
Yeah.
He's the hedgehog guy. He's not a hedgehog.
He ran around the Enterprise going, bing, 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 bing.
Now, here's what I know about Denise Crosby. She's both going, she'll be wrapped in black plastic, and she'll never show her face on camera, but only communicate through action figures.
That's right. She'll have her action figures come out and put them on tables and stuff and say, "Hi, I'm Denise Crosby. Would you like a signed photo?"
Still one of the dumbest things I ever saw in my life. If you guys haven't seen that Nerdtacular video with Brian's introduction, you need to go see it because it's really funny. I mean, she was super nice to do anything, right?
She was super nice, exactly. I'm certainly not going to...
No.
Not going to... disparage her, but it just seemed like such a
weird
for me. It was like, all right, oh my god, the file finally arrived after 2 months. And then I open it up, and I wish I could have seen my face when I watched that video for the first time. Like, okay, well, surely she's gonna appear at the end, surely she's gonna like turn the camera and be like, good luck, or something like that.
Yeah,
nope,
none of that. She didn't want to, she was bad hair day or something. Amarin Shimmerman, Max Goldacek, Grodenchek, who's he? Who's Max Grodenchek?
Oh, I've known him. He's does another thing.
He's from the what?
He's a Ferengi?
He's one of the Ferengis.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Was he Nog or something?
He was Rom.
He
was
not
Rom.
That guy.
He was Rom. Yeah, Rom, not
Nog. I get my Roms and my Nogs mixed up.
Yeah. Don't eat a Rom, but drink a Nog. That's what you want. Von Armstrong, Jeffrey Combs, we know him. Casey Biggs, Robert O'Reilly. Ah, Robert O'Reilly, I'll be making it on your thing. Now he's a pirate. John Paladin. That's a cool name, isn't it? John Paladin. Mm-hmm. Probably has an aura that protects the rest of his team.
He'll not just a name,
he's a class.
Yeah, he'll kick your butt. Information Society is the musical guests. Because they do that Pure Energy song with the Star
right,
Trek
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly. That uses a little sample of Spock on Pure Energy. That's the only connection they have to Star Trek.
Yeah.
And they get pulled onto this thing.
Now, I assume this is also a public cruise. This isn't just them on a private cruise, right? You could go on this if you wanted.
Oh, yeah. If you want to pay between $1,500 and $8,000, you can go on this cruise.
$8,000? That better get me... Me and Rene Auberjonois better be in a hot tub at the end of that. Like, good Lord. $8,000? Who's doing that? That's
crazy. Looks like the lowest price still available. There were $1,300 and $1,475, but the lowest price currently available is
$1,575. Wow. I don't think it'd be worth it, but whatever. I hope
round trip from Miami. Oh yeah, round trip cruise from Miami.
To where?
How many days is the?
I don't know. Seven. Probably seven. That's all. They're always
sick. It's a week. Yeah.
It's a week. That's long enough to get Giardia and have everyone get diarrhea while they're out there.
Except on there, it's called Giardia.
Yeah, Giardia. Oh, that's perfect. Oh my gosh, Brian! The dad jokers all out there need to turn in their cards. That was really good.
Thanks.
Here you go.
Diarrhea.
Diarrhea. Everyone's gonna get diarrhea. Complete. Sorry. Back. Moving on to Discovery. So we know who's got all the licensing deals. Do you want to tell us what does that even mean? In a modern day Star Trek context, what does licensing look like for a show like this?
Well, it means the different companies are the only one that can make these products for the show. Yeah. So there's Simon & Schuster for books, IDW for comics, Titan Entertainment for souvenir magazines, Disruptor Beam, I've never heard of it. They're going to make a mobile game they're going to make an update to the timelines.
Did you play that at all? I thought that game was all right.
Costumes, which is like...
Sorry, you're lagging.
I did a little bit, but...
Yeah. I liked it. It was okay. It was kind of cool. I had Worf, Picard, Kirk, and like Yeoman Rand all on the same ship. It was weird. It was a super weird game, that game. Anyway. Yeah. Who's Rubies? I guess that's a costume thing.
Like a costume company.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do kind of crappy Halloween costumes, so if you want to get little kids dressed up, they'd be good for that.
Yeah. Eagle Moss for Diecast. Now they make models. I've heard of them. They do models and stuff. That sounds awesome. I want one of those. Except we don't like that ship, do we? We're not a fan of the ship.
This just in, Twitch just went down for everybody.
Great. Thanks, Twitch. You're the best.
So apparently 100% dropped frames.
I'll stop and start.
Oh, wow. Twitch is twitching.
Yeah, Twitch is twitching out.
Which is a bummer because I found something really cool about the Star Trek The Cruise that I've got to talk about too. I know we're talking about, we've moved on to the licensing and the toys and other things, but.
Well, I'm killing the stream now. Let me see if I can restart
it. Starts back.
All right, we're back. Stupid internet. All right. There's a bunch of other ones. Oh, McFarlane's doing the figures. We knew about that. The other big one here for me. Go ahead.
I know Anopos is doing the replica Starfleet uniforms, and they always do it exactly accurate. So you can't tell the difference between what was on the show and their replicas. Yep. So I'd get that.
Have you ever bought one of those before? Ever had one of those?
If it's super expensive, but if the show's good, then it'll be worth it.
Yeah. Well, this all looks good. If you want to see... Oh, gosh. Oh, my Lord. Oh, and there I lost him. I think I lost him. Oh, wait, no. Is he still there?
Oh, no. I still hear him.
I did, too.
Still there, Daryl?
Daryl, you there? Oh.
Nope, there he goes. Dang it.
Well, there it is. Thanks for the Trek segment.
We're eating Oreos without him, but I did want to bring up some funny things I found on the Star Trek The Cruise website.
All right, what'd you find?
So they have theme nights.
Yeah.
So while they're between ports, the first theme night is Mirror Mirror. So you basically become the evil version of yourself, add a little goatee, and become the evil version of yourself and walk around the cruise ship.
Wow. All right.
There's Captain Sulu's Soiree, which I'm sure is like a shirtless foam party on the promenade deck.
Yeah, it sounds all right to me. What else?
There's Rise's Festival of the Moon party.
Oh, my.
So just turn into a big old orgy, I'm guessing.
Yeah, that sounds like fun.
And then Holodeck to the Holo Disco, and it becomes 1970s TOS disco night.
I mean, let's say the tickets for $200. Would you go to this? Was this
I would do it. I totally would do it. Yeah, if it was $200, I'd totally do it.
Yeah, $1,500 seems a little steep, but what do I know? Yeah. Maybe that's what a cruise costs generally. I don't know. I never go on cruises.
Yeah, that is about what a cruise costs, actually.
Well, that makes sense. Well, all right then. Let's. Thanks, Daryl.
Wow, your connection
now?
To me has got a little choppy. Yeah, like it's doing one frame a second for me, and not even that on.
Maybe it is
on
me.
Skype.
Maybe it's me the whole time. Maybe it was always me. I don't know. My internet says I'm good. I don't know. All right. Well, we'll end things anyway. So next Thursday, a reminder. This Thursday, Brian's going to talk about a football thing you're all going to be real excited about. So.
That's right.
Stay tuned. Okay. That's this Thursday coming up. Football. That's right. Sports.
Football.
Don't worry, we're not starting a new sports segment on the show. It's not that. It's something else entirely. But I'm very excited about it, so we'll talk about that on Thursday. In the meantime, visit us at frogpants.com/TMS. You'll find links to everything you need there to communicate with us, talk to us, find us, and also support us at patreon.com/TMS. It's going to do it for us. Brian, you want to do a little songy song?
I'm going to do a little song, and it's kind of not a cover, but it's something we do every single year, so we've got to do it. It's a tradition. DJ Earworm comes up with the annual summer pop music mashup, and just like in every year, combining all of these crap songs actually turns into something really good. It's like 58 wrongs make a right. Here it is, Summer Smash 2017 by DJ Earworm, and that's why this thing is this end thing is never going to be heard on YouTube.
Yep, that's right. Well, actually, they hear it on YouTube. They just won't see it live. So that's here right. It there is. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye. Show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Ah, oh.